good morning. It's Wednesday morning, Parshas Vayakhel, Toshim Pei Dalet, and we left off yesterday in the middle of a Meshech Chochma who was explaining the difference in the sequence, why in Parshas Kisisa the mitzvah of Shabbos is mentioned after the mitzvah of the Mishkan, and in Parshas Vayakhel it's mentioned first. So the groundwork that he laid was as follows, that Shabbos, the keeping of Shabbos is in order to pay homage to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or to show our emunah, to show our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he created the world. Created the world in 6 days. He's the creator of the world. But in Shabbos itself, we don't necessarily see the fact that Hashem is the ongoing supervisor of the world. In other words, Hashgacha Pratis, the divine supervision, is something that we have to also understand and subscribe to. And that is the fact that Hashem did not create the world on autopilot and just let it go, but he kept his finger on the button, as I said yesterday. And HaMechadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tam Ma'aseh V'Reishis, Hashem, he creates the world anew every minute of the day, as we say in davening. Okay, so he says if there's a conflict between Shabbos and doing a melacha in the commission of Avod of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore we do the Avodah. So let's say on Shabbos you have to bring a carbon. On Shabbos, the Omer has to be brought. The wheat has to be cut. Has to be, you need to make a fire for that purpose, etc. For the Omer. So that is done even on Shabbos, because Shabbos alone shows us the Chiddush HaOlam. Hashem created the world, but yet the Avodah that we do, and he builds this up by saying that the Avoda represents the Hashgacha Pratis. In the footnote, it says that the Gemara in Taina says that the Ma'amadus, that the ongoing service of the Beis HaMikdash, which included a representation of Klal Yisrael that was at each Karban, and so that is because of that, is Niskayimu Shemayim V'Aretz. Shemayim V'Aretz is ongoing, it's Niskayim, it always endures. Okay, so now he says as follows. He says, as long as you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have the Shechina that's Shorer in Yisrael. Okay, so the Binyan HaMikdash, or Binyan HaMishkan, is not Docha Shabbos. Why? Because the only thing that's Docha Shabbos is the fact that once we have the Shechina in Klal Yisrael, once the Mishkan is there, once the Mikdash is there, and that is the abode for Hashem Shechina, so now you take that a step further by doing the Avoda, and you're furthering the message that not only did Hashem create the world, but this Shechina that Hashem created, right, is present, and by doing the Avoda, right, we're showing that there's an ongoing presence of Shechina, and the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly creating the world, and the Shechina represents the Hashgacha Pratis, of the world. He says that's only once you do have a Mikdash or in place. So then you have the ongoing Avodah that's Docha the Mikdash. But the building of the Mikdash itself is not Docha Shabbos, because when you build the Mikdash by doing that, right, you don't have the Shechina yet. The Shechina is only going to be there once you have all the parts of the Mishkan, and then it's erected, right? But the actual doing, the act of building the Mishkan on an ongoing basis, right? So that is not happen, right, with the Shechina in place already. So therefore, you're just pushing aside Shabbos, which is so important to us. It's paramount Shabbos to show us Hashem created the world, and you, what are you accomplishing by that? You're only destroying that Shabbos, right? If the Shechina would be there already, so to speak, so then you have by doing the Avoda, so that you have the message of Hashgacha Pratis. And then he says, this is where he comes in now. And the truth be told is, I have a huge problem with the Meshech Chochma, but let's talk about what he says first. He then cites the Sipurno, and the Sipurno is something that we mentioned several times over the past few weeks. And the Sipurno says on the pasuk b'chol makom she'askes shmi avo lecha v'rachticha, that wherever you mention Hashem's name, wherever you build a mizbeach, that's where the Shekhinah is present. He says that that the Sipurna says the original plan was that there wouldn't have to be a mishkan, right? And everybody would have a mishkan, so to speak, or a mizbeach in their backyard, and you could serve Hashem in private. And it, by doing that, the Sipurna says it very clearly. And the Smesha Chochma, over the course of his Chumash, he brings the Sipurna several times. And he means, he's coming to say, is we had the presence of the Shekhinah at the time that we were able to build our own personal mizbeach in our backyard, because that took the place. There was no need for the mishkan. We were able to create that makom hashchina. Each and every individual could do that. Okay, and so therefore he says that where was the shchina? He says it very beautifully. That Kla Yisrael was the place of the abode of Hashem. We were the place that was designated for Hashem's avoda and for Ashras Hashchina. Not that through us Hashem's presence is felt, but rather the reality of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, we ourselves, right? It's not that like we kind of welcomed in the Shekhinah. We represented the Shekhinah, rested in our midst. The Heichel Hashem Hema, the Pasuk of Yirmiyah says that the Jewish people are a Heichel, the sanctuary of Hashem. We as a collective unit of Klal Yisrael, we were the Heichel Hashem at such time before the Chet HaEgel. He says, then, at that point, in other words, if the Shekhinah is so important as to be required to be brought into our midst through a Mishkan, prior to the Mishkan, prior to the Chet of the Egel, we ourselves were the reality of the presence of the Shekhinah. We were that address, so to speak, where the Rabbeinu Shlomo rested his Shekhinah. He says, then, he says, to build a Mishkan, building a Mishkan would be tantamount to bringing a korban. The building the Mishkan of itself in the climate where there is Shekhinah is like bringing a korban in the climate where there's a Shekhinah. And the same way that I explained that when there's a Shekhinah present, right, when the Mishkan is up, and so therefore we already have the concept of the Rabbeinu Shlomo's presence, so bringing a korban shows hashgacha pratis, because it's done it within the climate of having a Shekhinah. He says, the same thing would have been accomplished, showing Hashem's ongoing supervision, not only by bringing a korban, but even building a mishkan at such time where the Shekhinah was already there. So we took the place of the Shekhinah, so to speak. So he says that in that situation, prior to the Chet of the Egel, you see, prior to the Chet of the Egel, we already had Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, conceptually speaking, the building of the Mishkan would have been Docher Shabbos. Because he's coming to answer the question, why in Parshas Kisisa, Shabbos is after the Malach of the Mishkan? Because conceptually, the building of the Mishkan takes precedence over Shabbos in a climate where there's already Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael, which is the case according to the Sipurno. So therefore, the Mishkan supersedes Shabbos. But after the Chet of the Egel, we are no longer, so to speak, as a people, the abode of Hashem's Shekhinah, of His divine presence. So in order for that to happen, there has to be a Mishkan in place. But to build the Mishkan, you can't supersede Shabbos, because you can only supersede Shabbos in a climate where there already is Shekhinah. So the act of bringing a korban, so to speak, is being moira on the Ashgacha Pratis. And therefore, that's how he explains. So in Parshas Vayakel, where we already had the Chet of the Egel, so therefore, we don't have the Shekhinah yet. So building the Mishkan was important to bring down the Shekhinah. Therefore, it's not Doche Shabbos. If it's not Doche Shabbos, therefore in Vayakel, you have the mitzvah of Shabbos that comes before Mishkan to show me that Shabbos is more important than Mishkan. This is more or less the Meshech Chochma, I'd like to say in a nutshell, but it took me longer, I think, to explain it than I thought I would, because it's really, conceptually, it's a little difficult. The problem that I have with this is, and I really don't have a way out, unless he's just totally speaking conceptually, that according to the Sipurno, we would not have needed a Mishkan had we not have done the Chet of the Egel. And that's the whole concept, that before Egel, there's no need for Mishkan. And he's saying, before Egel, we were the abode, we were the Shechina, and therefore building the Mishkan would have superseded Shabbos. My problem with that is, according to Sipurno, prior to Archet, there would not have been a need for the Mishkan, so why would the Torah even be addressing the fact that the Mishkan comes before, the Shabbos comes before the Mishkan? There's never going to be a conflict. There's not going to be a, yes, exactly. So he's like taking the Sipurno's concept, and he's now sticking in the Ramban, so to speak, unless you want to say that conceptually speaking, what he means to say is in Parshas Kisisa, the Mishkan comes before Shabbos, because conceptually speaking, had you needed a Mishkan in a place where you already have Shekhinah, it would be Derech Shabbos. But why would the Torah be talking conceptually like that? So I'm going to leave that go, but at least I shared with you the Meshech Chochma's explanation as to the contradiction in the sequence of Shabbos, Mishkan, Mishkan, Shabbos. Fine. Now, I gave you handouts here, and let's look at the first page of the handout, which is the Ramban. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Bnei Yisrael. He gathers, look at the first pasuk. Vayakel Moshe is called as Bnei Yisrael. He gathered the entire community of Klal Yisrael. Rashi tells us it's the day after Yom Kippur when he came down from the mountain holding the new set of luchos. He gave the second set of tablets. And he gathers the Jewish people. Yichlo kol adas Bnei Yisrael, right? The Ramban, where I drew a line on the side of the Ramban. Who is assembled here? Yisrael hanoshim vanoshim, the men, women, and children. Because everyone, they donated, men and women alike, they donated to the Mishkan. That after Moshe commanded Aaron and the princes and all of the men, everything that he was commanded in Sinai, so when he came down from Har Sinai, he shared all that Torah with them. Right, Acharei Shibra Haluchos, after he broke the Luchos, Venosan Alpanav Amasi put a mask on his face. Okay, so he already addressed them after the Luchos were broken, but now, says the Ramban, Chazer Vitziva, he went ahead again and he commanded, Vehikilu Elev Kol Ha'eda Anoshim Vanoshim, the men and women. He says, Vehitachen Shahayuzeb Yom Machras Vidito. It makes sense to say it's the day after he came down from the mountain. And although he addressed the men earlier, that was to teach them Torah, but that was only something that the men had to learn. But now, as a footnote points out. But right now, V'omer l'kulan inyan ha-mishkan, now he's sharing with them the mitzvah of the Mishkan. Asher nitztava b'metchila kodim shibar luchos. So here's the Ramban. This is like in neon lights, right? This line right here, that he now commanded Klal Yisrael about the Mishkan, which he was commanded in prior to the breaking of the luchos. Now, this is again, we've been talking about this the entire time, because the Ramban in the beginning of Truma talks about the importance of the Mishkan is that after Klai Yisrael got the luchos, there has to be a continuation of that Maimon Har Sinai, of the presence of Hashem Shekhinah on Har Sinai, and it goes through the Mishkan, and that's where Hashem is going to meet Klai Yisrael, so to speak. So according to the Ramban, the Mishkan was necessary even had Klai Yisrael not sinned at the Chet of the Egel, and Hashem gave him that commandment then. So again, we already had the commandment prior to the Chet of the Egel, but Moshe did not share that with Klai Yisrael. That's the timeline. The timeline is Hashem gave Moshe the mitzvah of Mishkan, because that would be important whether there's a Chet of Egel or not. Moshe Rabbeinu kept it under his hat, so to speak, until after the breaking of the Luchos. And then he shared, as he says here, the Kikivin Shinesratzlam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once Hashem was appeased after Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and he gave him a second set of tablets. Now listen to this. V'choras imo bris chadosha, and he forged a new covenant. She'yelech Hashem bekirbam, that Hashem should walk in their midst. So therefore, what happened was, Hashem was mochel the chet of Egel. And then here the Ramban says that he forged a bris with Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? He forged an bris chadasha, a new bris. Where was that new bris? So in the Sefer Beis Hayayin, which is a commentary on the Ramban, he writes that it's talking about at the end of Kisisa, where, if we can get my Chumash, at the end of Kisisa, thank you. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, this is at Shvi in Kisisa, write these words down. Because through these words of Torah, Karati Itcha Bris Ves Yisrael, I am forging a covenant with you and with Klal Yisrael. Right? And the Moshe Rabbeinu was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came down, he gave the Sefer Torah. But the Sefer Beis Hayayin says that what is mentioned over here, that Hashem says, write down these words, write down the Torah, because with these words of the Torah, I'm forging a bris. That's what the Ramban means over here when he says that after the luchos were broken, he forged a new bris with Klal Yisrael. Now, I just want to say that that is incorrect. That's safe, that what he says in the Beis Hayayin is incorrect. I have a good friend in New York I was speaking to on this inyan, and he told me that he told me that the Ramban is different. He's going to tell. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. And when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he spoke with the author of the Beis Hayayin, Rav Dvir, and he showed him that. He says, you're absolutely correct. So Rav Dvir took out his own copy of his own book. He crossed it out, and he wrote, in a new printing, he will write what the Bris Chadasha is. So it's always important to look at the footnotes. Don't take the footnotes as gospel, okay? Yeah, you know, footnotes could be wrong also. I mean, yeah. So now, what's that? Okay. Now, who did get it right was the Pirish on this Ramban that I gave. This Pirish, you see the Bir HaRamban. This commentary is the Oz V'Hodor edition of the Ramban, and also the English translation of the Ramban, which is on the shelf up there, the art scroll, he also got it right, okay, for the record, okay? So what's the Bris Chadasha? So for that, you have to go back, and this is why I knew that I'm only going to start this today, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to save Klal Yisrael from destruction, so there's a number of things that Moshe Rabbeinu said. He davens to Hashem, and he says, you know, don't be angry, and remember the covenant you had with our forefathers, and you swore to them that you're going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about this at Shalashudas, the wise Eretz Yisrael brought in there. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're going to destroy the Jewish people, destroy me, don't erase me from your book. Hashem says, no, I'll let me keep you alive and destroy them. And anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu, he won the day with his tefillah. And this resulted in Hashem giving us the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Machanan. So then we find that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem something very important. He says, Pasuk Tazayin, it says, V'niflinu aniv amcha mikol am asher al pnei ha'adama, that there should be niflinu aniv amcha, me in your nation. Now what does that mean, that V'niflinu aniv amcha? So tomorrow morning as we start, we're going to see a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban and what the simple translation of these words mean. What was Moshe Rabbeinu davening for? We're going to see where Rashi, the way he understands it, follows his own reasoning in another Rashi in Chumash. And the Ramban, the way he's understanding it, it will result in a new bris, and that's the bris that the Ramban is speaking about. So stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow morning. Not same bat time, because today we started 6:25. Tomorrow morning is at 6:10, and we'll pick it up. We'll make it very clear. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow morning. Hold on. Have a good day.
Yeah. My name's Chuck.